Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Of course, here to talk about that and more as we begin yet another season that'll take us through football into basketball season. He is the athletic director, University of Maryland Terrapins. Let's welcome back for the first time in a long time, Damon Evans. Damon, good morning. Where have you been?
I miss you guys, man. I'm still here in the dungeon. I'm sitting in the same place that I was sitting the last time I talked to you, and I haven't moved.
Except you're making more money.
Hey, I don't know if I'm making it anymore. I don't get to see my paycheck. So
yeah, but Vinny brought it up. You got the contract extension, and it works certainly still to be done within the program. So talk about the program when you came in and the things that you had, you know, pointed out to improve upon, and where you are right now with the building still long from being completed, I guess.
Yeah, I like the trajectory of our program. I think when you take a look at where we've been, I've been fortunate to be the AD here 6 years now. I think we've improved in a lot of aspects. If you take a look at football, I think football has had consistent improvement in the wins that we've had the past 3 years, the bowl games. I like the things that we're doing with our facilities. You take a look at the Basketball Performance Center, the completion of Jones Hill House, and the opening of the women's lacrosse and field hockey complex, along with a slew of other things. Our ability to raise more money for NIL has been significant as we move forward. And, you know, we've still been able to compete for championships and so forth, but there's much more room for improvement. And all those things are attributable to our staff and our student athletes and our coaches. But I know our fans want more, and I want to give them more. We need to give them more. We need to win at a higher clip in all of our sports and get one of those signature wins here in football to get us going. So a lot of work ahead of us, and know that we'll be grinding.
Damon, you talk about the NIL initiatives and trying to raise money in support of the football and all sports programs. And, you know, let's be honest, basketball and football kind of carry the weight here. But we were talking about it last week on the air that Oklahoma State put the QR codes on the helmets. And, you know, my daughter had to explain, Damon, full disclosure, what a QR code was. I had no idea. I'd seen that little thing, but I had no idea what it meant. But on TV, you can scan the QR code. It'll link you to a website where you can donate to said football program and get into NIL and all of the good stuff there. So as this is still a fluid situation, how's the University of Maryland moving forward with creating new ways and ideas to bring in some money to help supplement the athletic programs?
Well, a lot of times you want to make sure that you have the right partners in place to assist you with this. We've been fortunate to have some great donors out there who have led a group for us in basketball. We brought in a company called Blueprint to be creative for us. But then we've upped our internal staff. And what we're looking at is trying to make sure that we're keeping our eyes on what's going on around the country, but how we engage our local businesses, how we better brand our student athletes, how we give them the platform so we can generate dollars for these NIL initiatives. And we'll continue to do so, even with the House settlement that's out there, and then revenue sharing coming in 25, 26, once everything's finalized. Make no mistake about it. I want our fans to know, and everyone to know, we're going to do everything to compete at a high level in those areas to make sure that our coaches and our student athletes have those resources. It's a new game nowadays. It's NIL. Now it's transitioning to revenue share. And believe me, we will be prepared and we will compete.
Hey, Damon, how does a school like Ohio State, I mean, because you read the article, $20 million they're paying for their football team. How do they get all that money?
You know, fortunate for them, I think there are some schools around the country that are an outlier. I think there are things that are being said out there that just aren't true about some of the dollars that some institutions have. I've been fortunate to be able to gather some data and talking directly to my colleagues where schools stand, where they stand with their NIL dollars. Ohio State is an outlier. There are a few other schools around the country like Ohio State, and they have a significant program. You got to give credit where credit's due. They've got a huge donor base. They've had great success over the years, and they've been able to capitalize on that. My job is going to be to focus on what we do here to continue to drive dollars and make sure that we can compete and be very strategic in the manner in which we move forward. But make no mistake about it, money is a big factor in what we do nowadays, and we're going to need to make sure that we can compete in that area.
All right, Damon, you got UConn on Saturday. You guys have won 12 straight non-conference games, which is awesome. You know, Locke's doing a good job there. Now, what do you like about this football team? Or, you know, I guess you're going to find out a lot about this football team on Saturday.
Well, you know, every year it's a new team. You got some kids returning. You have kids that have left. Last year, we had a good year to finish with a bowl win. But I'm looking to see how we do in quarterback play. I mean, that's the question for all of us is, we were fortunate to have a quarterback for 3 years that did a great job for us, was the all-time leader in the Big Ten in passing. So now we transition to an unproven quarterback. I know that Billy Edwards and Cam Edge, along with MJ, they've all been battling out there and putting forth their best efforts. So I'm looking to see how that comes out. I want to know what's going on with the offensive line. I think Lox has done a great job in recruiting kids to make sure we have depth at that area. We lost a lot there. But the one thing that I hear as a constant is that our defense is our strength this year. So I'm excited. Brian Williams has done a good job if you look at what he's done the past couple years. So this is going to be an exciting season because there are going to be some new things. But we've got some really good players returning, and Roman Hemby is coming back. And we've got Caden Prather and Ty Felton and Kyle Long. And so we really got a good nucleus along with Preston Howard at tight end of individuals that I think can help carry us.
Damon Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, during the season. Damon normally joins us on Wednesdays, doing a little Tuesday preview for you. Expansion of the Big Ten as a conference. For instance, USC is taking on Maryland this year down at College Park. I believe it's the first time the Trojans have ever played in the University of Maryland Stadium there, now CQ Field. So what about the expansion of the Big Ten and the trickle-down effect, Damon, not just athletically, but getting back to, I guess it's the reality of the situation, financially?
Well, at the end of the day, it is a business. We're part of an institution of higher learning, but it's a business. And we got to make sure that the Big Ten remains a very formidable conference. There's the Power Four. In my humble opinion, I think of the Power Four, there are two that stand out as it relates to revenue generation and the level of competition that we have. And I think that's the Big Ten and the SEC. And we want to maintain our foothold near the top of that upper echelon. And when you add schools like USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington, great traditions from sports perspective, TV likes those institutions, which adds to the coffers. They're, as I stated before, very competitive. And then the academic side of the equation. So I think we made some good decisions. We strengthened our conference, and it's going to be fun having USC here. When they do get here, I don't want to look too far ahead, but we need our fans to show up. That's homecoming. Let's sell this thing out. Let's let USC know what Maryland and the Big Ten is all about.
Hey, Damon, speaking about the fans, talk about Saturday, tickets available. What's the situation? How do they get tickets? Any big things going on before the game, during the game? Just talk a little bit about the opening day.
There are plenty of tickets available, and it's hard for me to say that. It's sad to say that. You know, I want to get to a point where you're asking that question, and I'm saying we don't have any available. But you can go to unterps.com, and you can purchase tickets. We need our fans to come out. It's not always about the opponent that we play. It needs to be about seeing the University of Maryland play and supporting these young men who go out there and prepare each and every day. It's about growing the pride. We've got some really great fans out there. I appreciate their efforts, but we need more to come because the fans create the atmosphere. I don't take any opponent lightly. UConn's going to come in here trying to make an upset. I don't think many people, I know it was an ACC game, but Florida State was a heavy favorite. And Georgia Tech played a great game. So we've got to be prepared, but fan support means a lot. And that those fans can really help push you over the edge.
Damon Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland. Damon, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Sounds good, fellas. Hey, fellas, we got to do a song, though, still. We got to do our song, fellas.
It's Turn It Up Tuesday, so what song do you want loud? It's got to be cranked up.
We're going to go, Are You Ready for Some Football by Hank Williams Jr. Let's get this thing going, fellas.
Oh, we can make this happen. Damon, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week. Good luck Saturday.
Yep, good luck. 1-0, Damon.
1-0, baby. We'll see you soon.
Yep. There is Damon Evans, everybody. It's Vinny at 80-1057 The Fan. We'll come back. It's the Whip Around. There, Ryan Ripken. Orioles are going to go 1-0 in L.A. tonight behind Cole Irvin. Get this offense on track against Jack Flaherty. Birds right now 2 games out of first with the injuries. Not to use them as an excuse. They're valid, but how do they right the ship? How about some guys that are 1-for-24 get hot a little bit?
Fantasy freaks and geeks. What's cracking? It's your boy, James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But that one.
Vinny and Hades with
brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Hades, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. We just talked about Maryland opening their football season this Saturday against UConn. But Florida State loses in Dublin. Field goal at the buzzer to Georgia Tech. In the new landscape of college football, fair to say that loss isn't as catastrophic as it would have been in the olden days. If this would have happened in 1997, they'd have been done 1-0 out of the gate unless they went 10-0 down the stretch and blew a bunch of teams out.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Bob. No doubt about it. I don't know what you think, but like, Ogunleye, I'm not a big fan.
DJ Ua Ogunleye?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. That's his third team, third school he's been to, and all of them have been kind of, you know, when he was at Clemson, took a step back. You know, I just not a big fan. And Georgia Tech's big and physical. I mean, their lines, Bob, they're big and physical up front. They won the line of scrimmage against them in that game.
So Florida State, right out of the gate, they lose their opener. It's not the death nail that it used to be, but it is still something. If you're Norville, not an ideal way to begin the season for sure. But we'll see how the Seminoles unfold over the years. And we'll do our predictions for college football later in the week as we start pick section. And look, there's no bigger Maryland football fan than me. I had season tickets for 13 years. I got Maryland gear that rivals the team store. I'm pessimistic about this year's club. The quarterback, Vinny, and offensive line concerns. And if you want to have concerns, all right, you got a great defense. They better be the 85 Bears. And in the Big Ten, I don't know if they've got that level of success here.
No, because if they give up points, I mean, Big Ten with the Oregons and some the teams that are coming in, they're going to spread you out and throw you, and they score a ton of points. The Terps, with their quarterback situation and O-line situation, they can't get in a shootout. They got to win a low-scoring defensive game, get turnovers, create turnovers, have short fields, do those types of things.
Now, there are some interesting matchups in college football this weekend. We'll get into all of them. There are some ranked games, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, for instance.
That'll be a big one,
Georgia, Clemson. I mean, we got, Penn State going to West Virginia. I don't think that's going to be a walk in the park for the Nittany Lions there.
Hey, your boy's going to be there Friday. McAfee, they're broadcasting there.
He's the all-time punting superstar
Did you see him on Friday? I mean, just chugging. He was hammered.
Oh, in Dublin?
Oh, hammered.
Let's see. Let's see. Irish guy known to party in Ireland. Drinking?
Oh, he was.
Say it ain't so.
He was guzzling during the show. He like
My man.
He was dancing with Saban's wife during the show.
My man. And how can you not like Pat McAfee?
Yeah.
U.S. Open tennis has started. It started yesterday with the first round. Coco Gauff. Let's see. She wins. Madison Keys. She advances as well. In the men's side, Taylor Fritz and Ben Shelton. And a local kid. He made good yesterday.
Francis Tiafoe exhales.
A fourth set. Francis Tiafoe, speaking of turf, big Maryland fan. He gets a four-set victory as the U.S. Open has started, believe it or not, in tennis. And this is a two-week extravaganza.
Yeah.
Let's see. Today's, what, the 27th? This will be ending the same day that the football season starts in earnest. The weekend, September 8th.
Yeah,
so that's going to be fun. But U.S. representation positive yesterday for sure. Let's see here. This day in Orioles history, it was August the 27th, 1973, on the whip around Memorial Stadium. Bobby Gritch, two-run homer. Earl Williams, three-run shot. Mike Cuellar picks up the win. Orioles beat the Rangers 6-1 on their way to the AL East Championship. 1983, Memorial Stadium. 5-3 Orioles over the Twins. Cal Ripken, homer, two ribbies. Eddie Murray, John Lowenstein singing. All drove in runs. Jim Palmer picked up the win. Orioles on their way to the World Championship. 1997, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Rafael Palmeiro hit two home runs, including a grand slam in the eighth inning as the Orioles stunned the Royals 7-3. Arthur Rhodes gets the win in relief of Scott Erickson. And then finally, 2012, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Nate McLeod, Nolan, hit a two-run homer in the bottom of the eighth as the Orioles stunned the White Sox 4-3. Pedro Strop gets the win. Jim Johnson picked up his 40th save as the Orioles and Yankees would go down to the wire in the AL East and would meet in the ALDS. That was 12 years ago today. Oriole Park at Camden Yards. When we come back, talk about the current Orioles. Hey, they're 20 games over 500. Two games out of first, but struggling. They've been a losing team for over 2 months. Ryan Ripken, get his thoughts on this series against L.A. and more. Stay tuned for that. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw coming up 11:45. And then news from the Nest. We're going to talk, Vinny, about cutdown day, getting down to 53 by 4 o'clock today. The Orioles, the Ravens have already made some roster decisions. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that. And who are some of the banged up guys that could be part of the IL fund early in the year? Jack Flaherty taking on his former team, Cole Irvin, getting a start for the Birds. Just flat a four-game set with the Astros. Orioles two back of the Yankees here to talk about that and more. Our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Let's welcome in, as we do every Tuesday, Ryan Ripken. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Turn It Up Tuesday.
Well, Judas Priest, man. Get the leather belt out, Ryan, and do what you got to do. You know what I mean? We're not here to judge, but... Orioles, a losing team since June 20th. That was kind of the high water mark, 17-5 over the Yankees. You're two games up. You're 24 over 500. Since then, they've been less than mediocre. Injuries have been brought up multiple times as one of the reasons for it. At what point do injuries no longer become a reason, or is this valid for Baltimore in their case, given the number of injuries that they've had?
Well, I think both can be fair statements, Bob, because look, if you losing some of your best players, that's going to hurt, right? You know, but the other part is a lot of other teams have injuries and they go, hey, we don't care. You got to find a way. So I think there is a combination. Obviously, the Orioles list of players on the IL, specifically on the pitching side, you can't squash that. You know, I remember looking back, the Orioles had the fourth best bullpen ERA in June, and I had people getting on me now going, well, Ryan, you know, it's that bullpen is terrible now. You still think they're that good? I'm like, well, a lot changes in 2 months, and when you lose some key pieces, that hurts, you know. So that there's no doubt about it, Bob, for the injuries. But having said that, there's other fundamental issues with the O's at times. You know, look, I think we were reminded this past weekend that this team can rise to the occasion and have special moments. That's the biggest thing, is that they can string together some magic and go against who I think the Astros, that's the best team in the American League for me right now. That's the team that I think is still the favorite. that you can go in there and have a really competitive series with. And how they did that was they executed situationally. Baltimore, during this run offensively, they just haven't been consistent with the little things. So, yes, a lot of injuries on the pitching side, but the Baltimore Orioles do have some things that they aren't doing as well this year that they were last year. And they got about four weeks now to hopefully figure that out as we get closer to the playoffs.
All right, you mentioned pitching. We know the bullpen, well, in my opinion, has been bad and inconsistent. I mean, the results have spoken for themselves, Ryan Ripken. But Corbin Burnes, he has not been himself his last couple of outings at this stage, late August. What goes on with a guy like Burnes that leads him to hit a lot more bats than he normally does?
Yeah, you know what? I honestly thought he was going to get rocked in a start earlier in the year. And that's not because I was hoping for that. It's just, you know, you just expect it. It just, things are supposed to happen that way. You're going to have bad outings. And the fact that Corbin Burnes truly, truly didn't have a bad outing until mid-August where he got lit up. I mean, this was career bad that he got lit up in that game. And, you know, but that happened. The last start, though, which is funny, we talk about situational hitting, Bob. That outing for Corbin Burnes against Houston looks way different if he's able to put away some Astros with two outs and put away Astros with two strikes. I got to go back and look at the number. I had just had it, and I can't find it now. I think the Astros tagged him for four or five runs with two outs. So he just didn't finish it off. Now, Corbin Burnes as a whole, I'm not worried about him because his track record to me, what he does throughout the course of a year, there's a reason why he's been one of the best in baseball. But for the Orioles' sake, because the pitching depth is, you know, shrunk. Is it shrunk the right word?
It is today.
Yeah, there it is. It is today. Well, because of the injuries, you need him to get back on track because if he's going to have, what, four or five starts maybe left in him, you hope you get the best you can because the Orioles are now chasing the Yankees and you want to have him feeling right and give your team a chance to win down the stretch because those games are going to be valuable.
Ryan Ripken, our colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Orioles in L.A. taking on the Dodgers, best record in Major League Baseball, L.A., of course. Now, Ryan, as the Orioles, look, they're 20 games over. We know the record. All you got to do is look at the standings. They'll tell you what the Orioles are doing here. But, as we said, been a losing team for over 2 months. Does pressure, the pressing, the self-doubt, does that creep in at this point in time? And if so, because it is relatively still a young team, where does Hyder come in as the calming influence? Does he need to be that guy?
Well, you know what? I got a chance to talk with, you know, Buck Showalter yesterday. Did an event with the Baseball Warehouse. And, you know, Buck was talking about sometimes when things are going so well, you can feel it in the clubhouse, right? And you can feel it and you just try to ride that out. And then there's other cases where, you know, when injuries happen and a lot of injuries add up, sometimes there can be a little bit of doubt's not the word that he used, but there it can throw off that chemistry. It can throw off that feel. I'd like to look at it this way. How about that the Orioles last year, there wasn't a hiccup last year, which is rare in baseball. If you think about it, Bob, go a full 162 where I can't sit there and go, man, Baltimore had a rough stretch because they didn't. You know, they didn't have a losing month. Every game that they fell behind, it felt like they had a chance to come back, which a lot of games they did. Close games late, they figured out how to win. They were very good situationally last year as well. Great situational hitting team. But you get my point.
Yep.
This year for the Orioles, they're going through something that a lot of the guys on this team, because of the age and the youth, haven't gone through at probably any level. So for Brandon Hyde, your job and responsibility is to try to keep things fun. Try to keep things relaxed because you're going through a tough couple months. There's no doubt about it. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe for the Orioles here, you get that sense of urgency or realize you got 4 weeks to have something magical happen. The Orioles should be going to the playoffs unless they completely collapse. But if you want to chase that division down, it's still right there. You just got to keep working through these types of issues. But I think the biggest part is trying not to press, trying to make it fun, because as soon as you let other stresses and frustrations then overrun what you're doing, then you're already losing that battle, and then you're going to see the Orioles continue to falter, I think, down the stretch.
Ryan, would you say that's maybe one of the reasons why they're in extended, like, hitting slumps? Guys start pressing, and then they start to, you know, get worried. I mean, the more you go over, the more pressure arises.
Yeah, I mean, you know what's funny? A lot of hitters, I think that people think that even the best in the world are these super confident guys. And they're great guys. They're very talented. But confidence comes and goes for everybody. So when the hits aren't stacking up, you have your doubts. No doubt about it. But I think the what gets to me sometimes, and maybe just this new day and age of baseball, and hey, look, no one likes seeing a ball go over the fence more than me. It's incredible. But if you watch the other teams, it's not only what they are. It's not the only thing that they're capable of doing. And I thought Houston was a great example. Houston in the first game scored 6 runs against the Birds, 5 of them with 2 outs, no home runs. That finale game against the O's, no one on base to start it with 2 outs against Dean Kramer, base hit up the middle, base hit the left center. You know, it was a simplified approach. I think for the Orioles, I always thought, if you can take the pressure off your individual self of trying to get out of the slump and try to think what's one moment that can help you, can help the team, I think that when the team focus starts to settle in more, it takes away the pressure. And how you can do that? If you're in a playoff race. And I think for the Orioles, it's a hard thing sometimes for young guys to, we've seen it, the ups and downs of dealing with it. And one thing I just want to add, there could be other stuff that's going on with players that no one knows about. And quite frankly, we might not know about, like Adley Rutschman. Adley might have more going on, but to the common fan, you might not know that, but maybe he's dealing with something that's really impacting his approach and his ability at the plate.
He's Ryan Ripken. Baltimore baseball tonight. He'll be on tonight with Tim Barbalace as the Orioles get ready for the Dodgers out in L.A. Ryan, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday, and I'll be seeing you down at Pickles here shortly.
Sounds good. You guys enjoy the rest of the day. Talk soon.
Thanks, Ryan.
Ryan Ripken, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. How about we talk to Nolan McGraw? If we have time, we'll get to the Funhouse. And then news from the Nets coming up top of the hour. Buy or sell 12:15. Where's the Turn It Up Tuesday money? Hopefully we're counting that. Then Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, Ravens Wire. Get his projected 53. And if the Ravens are going to add from outside, where's it coming from?
You know, cut down day tomorrow is get the practice squad together. So there's no reason to practice Tuesday or Wednesday. And then Thursday, I don't know if they'll still be adding guys, but it helps the coaches. They'll be working all week getting a game plan ready. So when they go to practice on Friday, Bob, I mean, they'll be zeroed in on, because you're like a normal week away, normal week out. So you go back to your normal schedule. So Friday will be Monday for them.
And we'll give you all the updated transactions from the Ravens and other teams in the NFL. Not only news from the next time, but coming up at NFL Lunch, CeeDee Lamb got paid. Nobody's real surprised with that one, right? Good for Dallas. Get that off their plate here.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, Bob, the guy led, what do you have, 180-some targets or something like that? I mean, he's the offense because they had no run game.
Zeke's back.
Oh, boy. That would have been good if it was 5-6 years ago.
News for the Nets, then buy or sell. Then we'll talk Ravens, Kevin Allstriker from USA Today. Let's bring Nolan McGraw in. Quick draw, how you feeling on this Turn It Up Tuesday?
Hey, they might have Dalvin Cook, too.
Oh, yeah.
And Tyus Bowser, part of the defense.
Let him go back to 2017. Then they're getting some guys.
All the stars are there. Very interested to see what the Ravens end up looking like at 4 p.m. this afternoon. I feel like most of the positions are pretty well set. There's not a lot of mystery. Wide receiver, though, interests me, particularly the special teams aspect. Is Deontay Hardy still the guy? When they brought him in, it almost seemed like a done deal. Hey, this is your kick and punt returner right here. He's making the roster. And then he was missing in action for pretty much the entire summer. Finally played in a couple games here recently. Didn't look terrible. Didn't look outstanding. Is he still a lock to make the team?
And let me just say this. I mean, Tylan Wallace is a good punt returner, you know. So, and I think a lot of people made decisions like right when that rule came into effect, I'm talking the kickoff rule. You know, and they figured that the returner was going to play such a big role. I think they found out that maybe the returner doesn't play as big a role. It's hard to block those guys, you know, right away. So there wasn't a lot of long runs in the preseason. So I would be shocked if they kept Hardy.
It almost feels like there's more pressure on the kicker now, trying to land it in that dedicated zone. If you go too far, you get penalized. You come up short. We saw Tucker kind of had that awkward, almost squib-like kick. I believe that was the second preseason game. Got penalized for that. So it's almost like the hardest part of the play is on the kicker.
Yeah, well, it looked like in the Green Bay game, both kickers just put it in the end zone and said, screw it, we'll put it on 30.
Yeah.
That's the way it looked.
And look, it's good to tell you, I still don't really understand it 100% exactly what this is.
Yeah.
Onside kick is now a joke because you have to tell the other. Wasn't part of it, you know, one of the.
Surprise onside.
A Super Bowl was changed when New Orleans beat the Colts
because
Peyton went onside kick to start the second half. Those days are gone. Now you got to let them know. And look, the success rate, because he couldn't move off the line of scrimmage anymore, had dwindled. It's basically a non-existent part of it, but. Is this kickoff, whatever the rules are now, to add more excitement to the game, bring it back in, which they wanted to neutralize to begin with? Player safety is always an equation. Is this lasting? I don't see this being a long-term answer for their kickoff.
I think probably one and done it would be this. Even Belichick said, just looks weird to me. You know, and that's kind of how it is. Same way when I put it on. But what's going to be interesting, Bob, is
I mean, like offsides.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know half the stuff about it with the penalties and everything, or if the ball skips in the end zone. Most fans will have no idea what's going on.
I'm going to go ahead and say that there's probably a lot of players and coaches who still don't fully understand. Saw it in a preseason game where Kansas City.
The referees don't.
Yeah, the safety. And yeah. Doug Peterson, I'd say that's a safety.
Right.
And they're like, oh, yeah, new rules, no doubt about it. News from the Nats coming up, top of the hour. Let me get a status report on me, not to make it all about me. Went to the eye doctor again yesterday. My fifth post-surgery follow-up. Retina surgery 2 years ago, new to the show. I've had cataract. My right eye screwed, basically. So she said that the pressure in my eye is extremely high. So I have hypertension in my eye, basically. Normal eye pressure is 11 to 21. Mine was 36.
Can you feel it?
Nope. She said, I'm surprised you don't feel any pain.
Yeah.
And I don't, because I have a high pain threshold. I've been living in pain for years. But it doesn't hurt, swear to God. The only time it hurts is when they keep dropping them things that burn my eyes and dilate and can't see. For a couple of hours. So I go back Thursday. I'm on a new drop regimen, which is supposed to reduce the pressure. It's just, I still can't see out of my eye, bottom line, even though she kept telling me how great the retina looks. Whatever. So there we go. So I'm going back Thursday. This has been an ongoing process, and I'd like it to end sooner or later. But if my left eye was like my right eye, I'd be a disabled person. And that's bottom line. I wouldn't be able to read, drive, see. I could see shapes and colors. That'd be it. I could not stare at my computer. Like, I'm closing my eye now. I can't read anything that's on that screen, which is literally a foot and a half away from me.
Yeah. And I'd get another opinion, Bob.
Right. Or drink another beer.
Whatever. At least you have an excuse to wear sunglasses inside.
Yeah.
Not everyone can pull that off.
I don't want to, you know.
You and Dion can.
Yeah, I don't want to be a douche. You know what they, Larry David, Curb Your Enthusiasm, a great line. He goes, you know what they call people who wear sunglasses indoors who aren't douchebags? Blind people. We got time for a fun house or no?
We'll hold off.
Let's do it next hour. We'll come back. News from the Nest. Buy or sell 12:15. And then talk Ravens. Kevin Allstriker, his 53-man roster looks like what? And do the Ravens need a third running back since Owen Wright looks like he's going to be out for a while?
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.